afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Wednesday, March 21st, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Melody.
We have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment of the program today, but it is an exciting day in the precious metals industry, so we're going to start there first. And yes, I always get excited when we have a 23-day increase in the spot price of gold. So you have gold holding at $1,335, up a little over $23. Yes, I get all excited. Silver was up 43 cents today at $16.70. Platinum was up 15 at $962. And palladium was up 12 at $999. And remember, folks, and we'll talk about this in the second segment of the program today, Jerome Powell with his rate increase. He says you're going to see pressure on gold up until that announcement. He made the announcement, and gold is going to continue, as I said, resume the course of an upward movement. It's going to go back to the behavior that I follow when they make these announcements. It's not that difficult to follow, but oh, so good day for gold today. And of course, it makes it even better when it makes me accurate. So USDX today is a little weaker, down 0.64. It's a little more than a little weaker. It's a lot weaker at 89.77. Crude oil was up $1.83 at 65.37. And the stock market today, a little reversal. Dow down 45 points, 24,682. The NASDAQ was down 19 points at 7,345. The S&P was down 5 at 2,711. Ooh, 10-year yield, 2.91%, up 0.03. And euro is 123, up 77. Working in opposite of the dollar. And still in the extreme fear area, 17 in the in that index, the fear and greed index. So many things to talk about in the financial markets today, and we're going to hold off on those until the second and third segment of the program today, as we always enjoy having Wendy Wilson join us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hi, Wendy.
I thought we'd pick it up part two of hair loss. If people didn't get to the show the last week, they can go to thepowerherbs.com and look up February 27th show, where we talked about some scientific research, three independent studies, one from Spain, saying that celiac disease, that's the gluten intolerance, rheumatoid arthritis, type 1 diabetes, and hair loss seem to have this link to GMO wheat and glyphosate. Well, you know, I wanted to look into this a little bit more. It got me thinking about what kind of damage are we really talking about when almost all of our commercially grown food that's not organically grown is covered with Roundup or glyphosate. So this weed killer seems to be doing more than we think, so we're maybe consuming more than we should, so we're going to take a look. So the Holistic Primary Report on wheat grain says that we actually soak our wheat crop in glyphosate. And I wanted to know what they meant by that. They said that the inorganic wheat crop is heavily treated with the chemical we call Roundup. It also includes non-organic crops that can be heavily treated as well, like corn, soybean, beets, cotton, canola, and alfalfa, which cows eat alfalfa. So what the agricultural industry does is they cut the cost of the growing product, they hasten the harvesting of it, and this boosts their profits. We'll get into that in just a minute, how they do it. So the process started, this cut to the chase process started in 1992, 18 years after the first use of glyphosate on crops. And the chemical is used as a desiccant, which means, you know, a drying agent. So what they are using the glyphosate for is a catalyst to speed up the ripening of your wheat crop. So a normal cycle, mature cycle for a wheat crop is 4 months. And after the wheat gets harvested, it should be put up to dry. And because they need to reduce the moisture in the wheat kernel to about 13 or 18%. So the drying cycle could take 3 to 6 weeks, but they don't want to do that second step because it takes time. It's different machinery they got to invest in, and it pushes up the cost of the crop. So what they do is they found out they can apply a ton of glyphosate right before they harvest it. It kills the plant, and it starts to dehydrate it. And this skips the drying cycle. So they can send the grain directly to the mill for milling. And so what they do is they, when they grow wheat, they coat the ground with the weed killer, Roundup. They also can apply it to the crop to reduce moisture, and they can apply it as often as every 7 days. Anybody, wow. Anybody go, uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez, so every 7 days.
They can, that's, you know, the law says they can apply it that frequently. Now, glyphosate has that extended use that you probably weren't aware of. And the EPA classifies it as a Group E herbicide, which means it's not carcinogenic. But in 2015, the WHO classified it as a probable human carcinogen. So let's get to this ripening thing, because the herbicide is used to shorten or skip that ripening cycle on the wheat. So when we start applying glyphosate to grains directly about the harvest time, it causes a reaction, and it actually kills your plant. And the wetter the season, get this, the wetter it is, the more glyphosate they apply. So the application speeds up the ripening, and this all started in Canada and Scotland because they have moister, cooler weather there. So this means that when the wheat reaches the market, it's been treated extensively with Roundup, more than intended, as just a weed killer. And some of the other crops that are at risk are your oats, rye, lentils, peas, flax, potatoes, buckwheat, and millet. But, you know, does anybody want to take a guess how much glyphosate the average person's eating?
No.
I'd have
don't
no.
Don't tell us either.
You sure you don't want to know?
Oh,
you're
go
going
ahead.
To tell us anyway.
Well, the glyphosate, it was primarily originally intended for a weed killer, but the holistic primary care says that people are getting more than they think. So they tested just the slice of pizza. It contained 10 parts per million of glyphosate. So they state enough of this chemical to cause an imbalance in the gut and even cause cell damage. And millions of people have, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, celiac disease, a lot of inflammation, and they think it's due to this chemical. Now, I pulled up the EPA report. I wanted to see what they were saying about, you know, dosing, how much we're consuming in our diet. So in September of 93, the EPA released their Red Facts report on glyphosate, and they list the toxin as, they have these acute toxicity categories, and level 4 is the most acute, most toxic. Well, glyphosate's in a level 3.
Wow.
And so they listed the health problems that the lab animals developed when they were exposed to the chemical, and here's what happened. Blood abnormalities, pancreatic abnormalities, which may explain the diabetes in humans, kidney abnormalities, inflammation, dermal skin reddening and swelling, decreased enzyme production, and remember that because we're going to get to the hair loss issue in just a second. Also, and that was under you know, your maximum dose levels they could give the rats. They also had digestive disorders like diarrhea, weight change, and even some of them died. And 3% of the chemical remains in your body tissues, your organs, your blood, and your bones. So this could explain why there's this disease link from researchers Anthony Samsel and Stephanie Seneff reported in Entrophy 2013 journal that herbicide Roundup is causing not only nutritional deficiencies, reproductive issues, but kidney failure, thyroid disease, cancer, DNA damage, especially of embryonic and placental and umbilical cord cells. It's linked to birth defects and also reproductive problems. So there's also a correlation of the saturation. It's found in 75%, glyphosate's found in 75% of your rainwater, 60% of U.S. honey, 36% of your soy sauce, 40% of infant formula, and 1.8% of mother's breast milk.
Wow.
Yeah. Now we heard about the hair loss issue, that it could be like an immune system imbalance, a lot of inflammation, that, you know, the hair follicle is not getting the nutrition. And according to Sanoff and Semmel, the researchers, glyphosate weakens the epithelial cells in your gut system, and it permeates from there. And so the chemical quickly becomes systemic, they said, can pass even the blood-brain barrier and cause neurological symptoms. But this, your gut has a lot of lymphatic tissue, and it's part of your immune system cells. About 80% of your immune system function starts in the gut, because that's usually where disease enters. And they say that the modified wheat is more glutinous and stimulates more release of a protein called zonulin. And according to Dr. William Davis, he says this is creating what he calls wheat belly. It causes a disruption of unwanted proteins in your bloodstream and initiates various diseases, including hair loss. And over time, there's this accumulative effect with a lot of inflammation causing more cellular damage. And basically, Columbia University correlated in 2015 that the enzymes from the glyphosate are being blocked at the hair follicles, and it creates what is called a resting state of hair growth. So it's a dormant suspension of hair growing. So the enzymes, when they're restored, the hair follicles start to grow again. So if you get off glyphosate and GMO wheat, and the reason the GMO wheat is a trigger is Dr. Zach Bush, a medical director of integrative medicine in Charlottesville, Virginia, he has proven that your GMO wheat is made to contain more gluten, and this creates the synergistic effect with the glyphosate and magnifies it by 52%. Mm. So it's an accumulative effect. Concentration of accumulation in farm animals, in their flesh, in their milk products. So, you know, if you want to know how much you're consuming, we can go over that. I don't know if you want to know.
Oh, you're going to tell us anyway, just you always do, right?
Well, it's an amazing thing. The EPA report was showing us just how much they have. Two milligrams a day is what they're saying is safe. That's their safe level dose of glyphosate, is 2 milligrams a day. But are we just getting 2 milligrams or less a day in our dietary intake? Because not only are, you know, we eating crops that are treated, but animals are too. And so we got to back to the pizza, 10 parts per million in your pizza, that equals about 0.01 milligrams of phosphate. Okay. But on the pizza is cheese, and cheese is 10 times the concentration of milk. So if we look at the cows, they have 0.8 milligrams of glyphosate in their blood system. So that means that a glass of milk is going to have 0.0005 parts per million of glyphosate. So an ounce of cheese is going to have 0.005 parts per million. So let's say, I'm going to have a glass of wine with that slice of pizza. And conventional wines contain 0.009 to 0.18 parts per million of glyphosate. And if you eat breakfast cereals and snacks like Doritos or pita chips, you're getting more glyphosate. So you can see you're going to quickly exceed that 2 milligrams.
Wow.
You know,
so you have to decide if you want an extra piece of pizza or an extra glass of wine.
Well, and people say, don't worry, I'll just go out and get me some Rogaine and grow my hair that way. Well, okay. There was this report. This was from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. They released some findings last year. They said women pay 40% more for the hair loss products. Oh, that's Rogaine or minoxidil chemical. To stop the shedding of the hair than men do. And the female formula has only 2% of the chemical, where the men's product has 5% of the chemical. That was in the JAMA dermatology issue. So women are being charged more for less product.
Well, par for the course. We're more vain. We got to have that hair. So we just buy the men's product. It will be fine.
Well, it's just that women's hair tends to be not as hardy as men's hair follicles. Okay. So they seem to be more fragile, so that's why they lowered the dose. This is a quote from Dr. Julius Liphoff, Dermatology University of Pennsylvania. He says, approximately 50 million men and 30 million women in America have hair loss, or called alopecia. In men, it causes this receding hairline. In women, it causes thinning hair. The hair loss products industry is going to generate $11.8 billion by 2024.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, it doesn't cost you anything just to, you know, go to ancient organic grains and stay off any produce or anything that has glyphosate treatment. Get your grass-fed, you know, cow that doesn't have glyphosate on it, you know, because cows that eat oats and alfalfa that are treated, that's a problem. So you're just going to have to be real strict dietary-wise, and, you know, it helps the body purge the toxins, and if you want to speed the process up, you can do your organ cleansing, you know. And just, you know, see within a year if your hair doesn't look better, because most likely it'll take 20 to 30 days to get the toxicity out of the system after you stop putting it in the body. And so then you want to just, you know, make sure those enzymes get to the hair follicles by not, you know, eating glyphosate products, and see if your hair doesn't grow back.
You know, it really is interesting when you talk about these things, and you give all these, you know, the symptoms that, you know, people get from ingesting these items and so forth. It's just, you look around and you hear of people complain of this, the reasons they go to the doctor, and it's every one of those, and it's just not with this, but it's with so many. It's just, you know, it's right out of the book. You know, well, how our bodies are being poisoned, and a lot of our ills are aches and pains, especially as we're growing or getting older. You know, it's
well, just, and children, you know, it wasn't when I was growing up, children didn't have hair loss. They have hair loss today.
Yeah.
20% of children have hair loss, and it's just incredible. Actually, my neighbor's daughter down the street has a ball patch on the side of her crown.
Wow.
They don't know. Yeah, they don't. I mean, she's, you know, she's not even middle school, and they don't know what caused it. So, you know, I just think, you know, toxicity is going to corrupt you at your body's weakest link on genetically. So that's why a lot of people won't have the same symptoms right away. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Everybody's a little different.
Wow. Hey, Wendy, why don't you give us some contact information? We got about 30 seconds.
Oh, yes. Apothecary Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. And you wanted to know why we were different last time. It's because we use certified organic Till standard herbs, and we naturally age in cold press, which protects the potency. You don't get that in stores. 866-229-3663 for a free catalog. 866-229-3663.
And your website again?
Thepowerherbs.com. Put the power back in your hands.
All right. Thank you, Wendy. We appreciate you so much. The listeners always comment to me what a great job that you do. So thank you. And we're heading into a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Jerome Powell's rate decision today and the impacts that it's going to have on the economy and also gold and silver prices. Stay tuned, folks.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And, you know, as I mentioned at the top of today's show and going into the break, the markets were kind of crazy today. They were up, down, and kind of all around. We have interest rates going up again, and I hear the same thing, big deal, you know, it's only a quarter point, what's the big deal? But at 2 o'clock this afternoon, the Fed approved a widely expected quarter point hike, and it puts the new Fed funds rate at between 1.5 and 1.75%. Just for a little history on this, it's the sixth rate hike since the FOMC began raising rates off of near zero in December of 2015. Boy, that just seems so long ago.
How about it?
It seems so long ago, but then it seems just like it was yesterday that we started talking about them raising rates. So, and the importance of this, of course, is that the Fed funds rate is closely tied to automobile loans, your home mortgages, consumer interest rates. They'll begin to rise as soon as the Fed moves. Along with the increase came another upgrade in the Fed's economic forecast and a hint. He gave a hint that the path of rate hikes could be more aggressive in the coming years. I didn't get to see his press conference. I wanted to watch it, but I got tied up here writing orders and everything, so I didn't have a chance to view that, and so I didn't see how he performed. So the market is expecting about three rate hikes for 2018, but at least one more increase was added in 2019 or 2020. We'll have to see. I think this will probably be the last year that we have rate hikes, but that doesn't mean that the rates can't continue to climb. But the economic outlook has strengthened in recent months, and the language came even though the committee earlier in the statement said economic activity has been rising at a moderate rate and seeming downgrade from January's characterization of a solid rate.
Boy, you really learn how important words are, Melody, when the Fed chair has his or her press conference every quarter, or as we may talk about a little bit later, every month if the new chair, who's currently, you know, contemplating doing these things every month, actually does. But yeah, the pace of economic growth is real important to how the Fed's going to proceed in the future. According to the summary of the economic projections that the Open Market Committee releases every quarter, three rate hikes is still the baseline for 2018. However, it turns out, had one more member indicated a higher funds rate at this meeting, the forecast likely would have been changed to four. Melody, Wall Street economists increasingly have been predicting a fourth move in 2018. and the Fed funds futures market was indicating a close to a 40% chance of just that before the committee's statement was released just a little while ago. The decision to increase the Fed funds rate today came unanimously, even though some committee members did question why the Fed is moving again without more inflationary pressures.
Well, the Feds raised their forecast. The Federal Reserve officials raised their forecast for 2017 GDP growth from 2.5% in December to 2.7%. And they also increased their 2018 expectations up to 2.4%. But they are lower. Now, those are higher than its earlier forecasts, but still far below the growth projected by the Treasury Department and Congress during the tax cut debate a few months ago. Heck, they were like at, what, 4%?
And
4 and 5. Then they came down to 3, and now we're, you know, between 2.1 and 2.4. And so everyone is anticipating growth slowing. With the 2020 forecast holding at 2% and the longer run measure still at 1.8. So they also noted that household spending and business fixed investment both have moderated from their strong fourth quarter readings.
Inflation expectations too, which the market had been closely focused on lately, changed little. The 2018 forecast of the Fed remains just 1.9% for both the core and the so-called headline inflation. Core happens to exclude food and energy prices. For 2019, the inflation forecast for personal consumption expenditures edged higher to 2.1%, while headline remained at 2%. And the committee nudged up the 2020 level to 2.1 for both core and headline inflation. Now, these modest inflation expectations are particularly fascinating, considering that the Fed now sees unemployment running even lower than before. Currently at 4.1%, officials now see the unemployment rate for 2018 at 3.8 and 3.6 for 2019 and 2020.
Do you buy it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that they project those lower rates and yet still have economic growth, you know, under two. So I find that more interesting than the, you know, these rates in and of themselves. I don't know. I don't know what to think about that unemployment rate. It seems incredibly optimistic. I haven't read the report, so I don't know what they're basing that on, if it's, you know, related to the tariffs, if it's related to short-term economic growth from the corporate tax cuts. Whatever it is, it's worth looking into. Let's say that.
Well, isn't there theory with these lower employment rates suggests higher wages?
Sure.
And that's what they're crying about. They're crying because they're not getting wages. The wages are not rising. And so personally, I believe, because I think they throw these numbers out with the anticipation that businesses will make the decisions, investment decisions, raising these wages and so forth. I don't think we're going to see them, because you're right too. If you have these low numbers, then you also would anticipate higher growth, greater growth. So yeah, the numbers aren't, you know, yeah. So I think they're just throwing them out. And I think we all know that we're not going to see any of these numbers, because I think by the time we get to 2019 and particularly 2020, we're going to be looking at a whole new world through our, you know, for our economy and our monetary policy, you know.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
So, yeah, I don't, I saw something too, not to change the topic, because we were going to continue. And folks, you know, you want to know why this is important, that we talk about the Jerome Powell today more at length than we probably have in the past. And I think it's important because of this administration. And this is the first time, and because we have a new chairman. And I think it is important to sort of focus on to see, and yet I get it that a lot of these, you know, I don't buy all these numbers. I think, you know, that perhaps, you know, they're exaggerated. And again, I remember what Greenspan said, it's not what we do, it's what we say. That's what moves markets. That's what monetary policy is about, is what we say, not by what we do. So,
and you know what, Melody, in with respect to that, I mean, it's interesting that the statement he made at his press conference, one of the questions, you know, was, you know, are you going to hold more of these than just four times a year? The committee meets eight times a year, and four of them at the end of the, you know, the 2-day meeting, the Fed chair, you know, gives a press conference, and it's interesting. Let me see if I can find this. I mean, Powell hasn't made a decision about whether he's going to increase the number of it, but with respect to what he and they say as opposed to what they do, he says, my colleagues and I are committed to communicating as clearly as possible. I would want to think very carefully about it, that is doing press conferences more frequently, and make sure that no one would take more frequent press conferences as a signal of the path of policy. So there you go, Melody, confirmation of
yeah.
Your statement there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if they're looking to add more conferences, news conferences and so forth, they're meeting more often, I think they're anticipating something. You know, to where they would have to. I mean, if things are just rolling along and everything's fine and dandy and they have their little planned increases and so forth, why would you need more? So, you know, they do need more in order, because I think they're anticipating something that's coming, something that they might lose control of.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, Fed funds rate now at, you know, 150 to 1.75%. And by the end of 2020, I think I'm seeing projected figure of 3.4 to 3.9 percent. That's just two years out. Folks, buy that car this year. Take out that new mortgage this year.
Now, Dave, we tell everybody to pay off their debt. But for those of you who have an abundance of money and put some aside, but just don't sell your gold in order to get those.
Indeed.
And we're going to continue on, but this is sort of along those lines of maybe anticipating something happening. We're going to talk about the 10-year, about the bonds, the Treasury notes. I came across this article right before the show, and Democrats in Congress want to rein in on Wall Street's buyback parade.
Oh.
There was Senator Tammy Baldwin. There's a bill that's going to be introduced tomorrow that would prohibit companies from repurchasing their shares. These are one of our problems. While the legislation faces an uphill battle, of course, it demonstrates a growing backlash against companies using the extra cash to reward or debt to reward shareholders instead of sharing it with workers. Buybacks, which boost stock prices by making shares scarcer, and exploded this year,
artificially increasing their value.
Yeah, and a lot of this, you had Pepsi, you have Cisco. They announced a total of $229 billion of buybacks so far this year. That's two companies. And you want to know why the stock market is roaring, and yet a lot of people aren't making that much money on it. So this bill was co-sponsored by Elizabeth Warren, and, you know, I'm not a fan of her and so forth, but it is a problem. The buybacks are a problem. It's a financial engineering trick. You eliminate the shares, buybacks inflate a critical measure of profitability. You have these CEOs, these corporate heads, it's part of their compensation also. Just like Facebook, what did little Zuckerberg do last week knowing this was going to hit him? He's out there selling shares. You had the same thing with Equifax. You know, they held off making an announcement that they were being, that's because it's all part of compensation for these guys. So it's a very big deal that they prop up those shares, and the repatriation of money coming back with these tax cuts and so forth, that's what these companies are going to do. It's not going to trickle down to the economy. Oh, you're going to get some, but very little. Very, very little. The majority of it is going to go into the buyback. So you can say that's a good thing. You can say it's a bad thing that they're going to try and control it. But we'll have to see what happens. But something that could definitely upset the paper markets.
Oh, indeed. And it does give rise to those who are already suspicious, you know, about the growing inequality of wealth, the out of control compensation of most CEOs, that these people, like Zuckerberg and other CEOs and officers of these corporations that are buying back these tens of billions, hundreds of billions now of buybacks of shares, is that they know something we don't know. They know, for example, I mean, they've got their at their fingertips a lot of the numbers, or some of the numbers anyway, that we're able to share with you on this show, but they still know a lot more than most of the rest of us do, and maybe that should tell us something, that, you know, they know a big change is coming. That a big downturn, a correction that would far exceed the 12% downturn in the stock markets we saw just a little over a month ago, and we should be paying close attention to that and thinking about what it could mean and why it continues to point out the importance of seeking safe haven for our investments in things like gold and silver.
You know, in all bull markets, there are phases. There's four phases. And we continue to hear reports about the little guy, the private investor is coming into these markets. They're putting more money into these markets than ever before. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the last phase. You know, and these are signs, if anyone cares to pay attention. And we're at a turning point. Is the crash going to happen tomorrow? There's reports that it's all going to, you know, again, the dollar is going to be reset on the 24th of March, you know, and there's reports that it's all going to happen by the end of March. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen March 24th. It could happen March 27th. It could happen April 1st. It could happen June. It could happen July. But the whole point is these are all signs saying that the day of reckoning is close by. And we're not going to have a 10% pullback or 12% like we've seen before. I can remember since the day I got into this business, it was always we were going to have gold is going to cross at 3,000 along with the Dow. They're going to cross paths with gold going up and the Dow going down. I think that number has risen. I think you're going to see gold at 10,000 and the Dow at 10,000 or lower. So, hey, I hear the music already. We're heading into another break. I'm Melody Cederstrom with Dave Allen. Please stay tuned. We'll be back right after these short messages.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We got some great prices. Prices are rising. We got a few of those 90% bags left over, not many at the yesterday's price. They will be repriced for tomorrow. And same way with gold. We'll see where what happens in the markets tomorrow. So if you want some good deals, give us a call now, 1-800-375-4188. And this hour goes by so fast. Mm-hmm. We should almost need 2 hours in order to get all the things that we want to talk about. We were going to talk about the yields as the Fed continues to tinker with the monetary policy. The bond market is on the move, and one observer said today's move on rates could indicate whether we're in for a market slowdown or worse. The interesting point is that the 2 to 10 year Treasury note spread is compressing. And that's troubling because that means the market is basically suggesting that there's going to be a slowdown at best and perhaps a recession at worst. And I think the 2 year yield is at 2008 recession levels.
Yeah, open your eyes to that, Melody. The 2 to 10 year spread was at 54 basis points as of yesterday. And that spread's been on a steady decline since March 9th, after it hit the highest point of the year at 78 basis points on February 9th. Now, these moves on the bond market do suggest investor caution. Forces like rate hikes from the Fed, its winding down of its balance sheet, and more borrowing from the U.S. government, which we'll talk about after this discussion, they're all having an impact on the yield curve. And the yield curve, which is another measure of the relationship between short and long-term bonds, is beginning to flatten. And that means shorter-term bonds, such as the 2-year, are showing yields closer to the 10-year. And the 10-year yields are getting closer to the 30-year. And as listeners know, a flatter yield curve typically reflects less investor confidence in the economic outlook, and therefore, investors have a lower risk appetite in general.
So here's an opportunity for folks to get into a safe haven like gold. Gold is not going to go away. Gold is going to perform like it always performs. Gold has been around for 5,000 plus years. It's recognized as money, it's wealth, and in times that we face, it's going to regain that status. So don't let the propaganda fool you as far as you need to be in paper. And cryptocurrencies truly is, it's just all gambling. You get your money in and you won't be able to get your money out. Why not have your money sitting right next to you to where you have access to it? So give us a call at 800-375-4188. I guess there's going to be new breaking news on tariffs, Dave, tomorrow. There's going to be an announcement or something that I heard.
Yeah, a couple of things. I mean, we're reading that the White House plans to announce tomorrow a separate package of tariffs to penalize China for intellectual property theft. This has been hinted at for a couple of weeks since the initial rollout of the aluminum and steel tariffs. But the measures that are going to be unveiled will apparently not include restrictions on Chinese investment in the U.S. or student visas, but a number of products beyond the steel and aluminum that were in the president's first announcement. Now, the president is going to be briefed again in 2 weeks to consider more actions based on the effects of the first phase of action that have are in the process of being implemented. And the president report has reportedly worries the measures could hit American universities too hard. They're going to, I think he's going to be wary about eliminating student visas or restricting them, too heavily. Now, both the timing of this announcement and the scope of the tariffs haven't been finalized. That's the thing to remember. They're sort of a work in progress. The president has pushed for tariffs of $60 billion in Chinese goods. But by international law, the penalties have to be limited to the amount of harm. And that harm is determined by the U.S. trade representative in this case and what he finds the unfair trade practices have done to the U.S. Economy. Now, earlier today on Capitol Hill, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said the president will make the final decision soon. However, he noted that the administration would structure the tariffs to inflict maximum harm on China and try to limit the effect on U.S. consumers, which has been the initial pushback we've heard about the steel and aluminum tariffs. Melody.
Well, I was reading, too, with China, they do have a new central banker. He replaced him last week, and that they're loosening regulations for businesses or corporations who do business and manufacturing in China. So they're loosening up those regulations. I know a lot of this is technical advancements. Also that they're not requiring for businesses to give them to China, to give to the government and so forth. So China is also changing how it's doing business with foreign corporations. So we'll also have to see if they're making those types of changes in order to keep the business in relationship to facing the stiffer tariffs and trying to keep the businesses there in China. So
yeah, maybe get the U.S. To back down.
Well, I don't know if it'll make the U.S. to back down, but at least it would keep the corporations from moving. If regulations are coming off and China's it will make it easier for the businesses already there to stay, at least so they don't leave. And I doubt it would. I don't think it would attract new business. Perhaps it would, but that's not set in stone either. So I think China can make various moves and changes to offset, perhaps the tariffs that would come from the administration and that would affect them directly or indirectly. But ultimately, the big question is it going to create growth here in the United States?
Yeah, that's interesting. This all coming at the same time when we're talking with the European Union and Argentina, Australia, and probably some other countries that I'm not thinking about on granting possible exemptions to them from the steel and aluminum tariffs that are in the process of being eliminated. Brazil also apparently in line for discussions, although Lighthizer, the trade rep, said that talks with South Korea over any possible exemption would be carried out in the context of existing trade negotiation talks with them. Those are, I think, bilateral talks between the U.S. in South Korea. And of course, you know, the U.S. already announced exemptions for Canada and Mexico. So ever evolving. Tomorrow will be another interesting day to see how China and the markets react to these new tariffs, if in fact they are implemented.
The jury is still out as far as the impacts, I believe. And there was an estimate with the 25% on steel imports and 10% on aluminum, the tariffs would add about 19,000 jobs. That's, you know, what, 300 plus, close to 400 jobs per state. So, you know, it's something. It's better than nothing. So we'll just have to see. I don't think anyone really knows. I know what they're supposed to do, and I get all that. And of course, you know, I was always for, we all to talk about tariffs and so forth. But again,
we now know there are conflicting estimates about what's going to happen as a result of them. Some saying, you know, that we're going to lose net jobs in the manufacturing sector. Others now, this new report by the Coalition for a Prosperous America, saying that in fact that there will be a net gain. As we like to say, Melody, we will see.
But you know that the positive thing, either or, is good for gold.
Indeed.
So either or, it is good for gold. So you know, I heard that Congress was up all night. It just cracks me up. What do they do during the day?
You know, in their rent free offices with government provided cots.
What do they do during the day that they can't get done? So they have to work all night long in order to try to get this spending bill passed.
They're meeting with lobbyists, idiots, aren't they? Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
That's cynical. I don't mean to be.
Yeah, you do. So let's talk a little bit about the government shutdown and the spending bill.
Well, you know, it does look like, you know, according to news reports this afternoon, that Republicans and Democrats have struck at least a preliminary agreement.
Oh, they
on the major points of contention, and yet another bill to keep the government open to avoid a shutdown and to fund operations through the end of the fiscal year, which ends September 30th. Now, the deadline for passing a spending bill, you know, to avoid a shutdown is midnight this Friday. And it's unclear, or it was unclear as, you know, the time we went to air here today, when congressional leaders would release the text of that final legislation. We suspect it would be sometime this evening or tomorrow morning. The president's support for the proposal, interestingly, was still unclear entering today. He talked this afternoon with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Paul Ryan, where they discussed, you know, making sure that their shared priorities are in the legislation, such as, you know, increased defense spending, funding for the southern fence on the U.S. border with Mexico, and so on. Now, under the agreement, we're learning that spending on opioid treatment, opioid addiction prevention and research would increase by about $3 billion, and there'd be $10 billion for infrastructure, which would go toward grants as well as programs to improve airports and highways and railroads.
$10 billion really is not a whole lot of money when you need over $3 trillion to...
It's a drop in the bucket. And my sense here is that if this, as some are saying, the spending bill is going to be the last piece of major legislation to make it through Congress or even be debated in Congress, then I'm just thinking that, you know, the Republicans wanted some kind of money for infrastructure so that they could run on that, you know, remembering that, you know, these are the midterm elections coming up in later this year. That's just my take. It the spending bill would also increase $1.5 billion for border security funding. Military defense spending go up $61 billion. That includes pay raises for uniformed servicemen and women. And it would put about $700 million to try and secure elections and combat these cyber attacks from Russia and possibly others. So be interesting. There's still disagreements over immigration, healthcare, and again, infrastructure. And that's essentially what is causing the holdup in gaining final improvement among the leadership. But, you know, as we're hearing, the rest of the congressional calendar this year, Melody, is going to be given mainly to confirming the president's nominees. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. The lack of a dreamer's bill, so to speak, that's going to be hay for both parties, party members running in the midterm elections. Things are crazy in Washington as usual.
Yeah, as corrupt as usual. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're just about out of time. 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188 for discount gold and silver trading. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We had a great day in gold today and silver. All the precious metals, a lot of pressure on the dollar. And crude oil was up big, up $2. I'm not quite sure what that was all about. Didn't have an opportunity to research that prior to the show. So we will be returning tomorrow. Thank you, Dave. I'll be back tomorrow with my co-host, Butch Paul. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.